The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, here's a question. How do you know what's important and what's not? The Pharisees we just read about were completely confused when it comes to what's important and what's not important according to God. And these Pharisees were the religious elites, the leaders of Judaism, people renowned for their piety and their devotion to God. They'd come up to the Sea of Galilee, that region, from Jerusalem, to investigate Jesus, to check him out. And they found him and immediately saw something to criticize. Some of the followers of Jesus didn't wash their hands before eating. So the Pharisees complained. If that sounds stupid and trivial, that's because it was stupid and trivial. Well, Jesus responded by quoting Isaiah, pointing out that the Pharisees were completely ignoring the commandments of God and focusing on their own rules. In other words, the Pharisees were obsessed with what was important to them, but completely oblivious to what was important to God. And to emphasize that point, Jesus recited the fourth commandment, "Honor your father and mother." And he brought up a practice that was apparently common among the Pharisees. If a household had extra money, traditionally it went to elderly parents. But the Pharisees promoted the practice of giving any extra money not to needy parents, but instead to the synagogue in the form of a special gift. Keep in mind, every household already gave 10% of their income to the synagogue. So this was above and beyond that. They called it korban, meaning given to God. Here's the issue. Not only did this korban practice violate the fourth commandment, it was completely self-serving for the Pharisees. Pharisees ran the synagogues, so these extra gifts increased their incomes. No wonder Jesus called them on it. You know, there's a great parable in Luke 18. Most of you know this, my favorite parable. Jesus told it to the Pharisees again, the religious elites. He said, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. The parable goes like this. A highly esteemed, well-educated Pharisee, a guy at the top of the social order, along with a hated, traitorous tax collector who collected taxes from fellow Jews for the despised occupying Romans and collected a little extra for himself, a man uniformly hated, they both went to the temple to pray together. This is fictitious. It's a parable. The esteemed Pharisee stood before the altar and prayed like this. I thank you, God, that I am not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, or especially like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. End of prayer. Then the hated tax collector prayed. Ashamed, he stood away from the altar and wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he pounded on his chest in an expression of contrition. And he prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. End of prayer. Then came the punchline. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. It was the tax collector who went home declared righteous before God. Those standing around Jesus were flabbergasted, stunned. Why was this cheating, hated tax collector justified, declared righteous and forgiven by God? Because he did what was important in God's eyes. He recognized his own sinfulness. He didn't pretend to be someone he's not. He understood that he had no righteousness of his own. Well, what about the Pharisee? Well, the Pharisee didn't even pray, really. He just verbally patted himself on the back. And then he pointed at other people and condemned them. Thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, tax collectors. The Pharisees that we read about in Mark 7, who came up to check out Jesus, did the same thing. They pointed their fingers and condemned the followers of Jesus for not washing their hands before eating. I mean, who cares? Other than your mother, of course. You know, this failure of the Pharisees, the religious elites, to recognize what's important and what's not important, and their inclination to condemn others, this is important for us to understand. Because we are seen as the religious elites of our day. We are the people who go to church. We are the people who profess faith in God. We are the people who count ourselves as followers of Christ. Many of your neighbors, maybe most of your neighbors, don't. In the eyes of others, we are the religious elites. So we need to make sure we're not confused when it comes to what's important and what's worthless in God's eyes. And it might be worthwhile to remind ourselves that God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. John 3:17. You know, recently I read, once again, part of a book written almost 30 years ago now. It's called Beyond Culture Wars. It was written by a renowned Reformation theologian named Michael Horton. This book has a lot to say about religious elites and our tendency to condemn and what's really important. I'm going to read a passage and remind you that this was written almost 30 years ago. What we've done, Horton writes, is we've substituted the gospel for moral and political agendas. Again, it's amazing that Michael Horton wrote this 30 years ago, pointing out that Christians have submerged the message of the gospel and instead put up on the marquee a message about morality and politics. Horton continues, and remember this was 30 years ago, he writes, "We need to remember what's important. Surely no one would say that the late Francis Schaeffer shied away from public issues, but he warned, equating any other loyalty, whether it's political or national or ethnic, confusing any other loyalty with our loyalty to God is sin, and we better get our priorities straight now." We live in an era when politics and morality are confused in a lot of people's minds as the priority of the church. But politics and even morality are not the priorities of the church. The priority of the church, the unique message of Christianity, is the gospel, God's forgiveness of the immoral and the sinful. You know, I know I've told this story to the Bible class, maybe more than once, but I'm old enough to remember the AIDS crisis of the 1980s when Jerry Falwell, who at the time was just another Southern Baptist preacher with a TV show, but Jerry Falwell was tapped by national media to be the spokesman for all of Christianity in America. And in an interview on national TV that I watched, he made the statement that AIDS was God's condemnation for the immoral and perverted behavior of homosexuals. And maybe it was. But every one of us is immoral to some extent. Maybe even perverted. I don't know. Every one of us needs God's forgiveness. I do know that. You know, I've often wondered if Jerry Falwell had gotten on national TV and instead of saying what he said, what if he'd said something like, "In response to this AIDS crisis, I'm going to love my homosexual neighbor by starting a national effort to build AIDS clinics across America." I can't help but wonder if he'd done that. I wonder if there would be far less antagonism between the homosexual community, who we are called to love, and the Christian church. Here's what's important. Though you are sinful, Christ died for you. Though you have no righteousness of your own before God, Christ has imputed, has credited His perfect righteousness to you. You have an alien righteousness, a perfect righteousness that comes from outside of you. And when you understand the depth of your sin and recognize the magnitude of Christ's gift given to you, you can begin, even if imperfectly, you can begin to love your neighbor. Be at peace. Thanks to Christ, you're forgiven and accepted by God. Your future is glorious. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the message of the Pharisees confronted by Jesus is a tough message. Lord, help us to recognize where we are guilty when we are guilty. And help us to lean entirely on the righteousness that you have given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.